This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, Jason McCourty is half of one of the most unusual combinations in NFL history, a set of twins both playing in the NFL. Now, that's happened only 13 times in the game's history. In this season, the McCourty brothers will form the most unique of those tandems, very likely starting in the same defensive backfield for the New England Patriots. Now, Jason, your brother has been a regular visitor here with the Talk of Fame Network, and we are glad and delighted that you've now joined him in our lineup.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
Jason, a year ago, you suffered through an 0-16 season in Cleveland, as you know better than anyone else. Now here you are with a team that's been to the Super Bowl three of the past 4 years and won twice. Did it feel like you got handed a get-out-of-jail-free card like in Monopoly when you heard that you'd been traded to New England?
I guess I try not to look at it like that. I feel like everything happens for a reason, you know. Last year, through all the adversity and turmoil, I was able to learn a great deal. But at this point, just really excited for the opportunity that lies ahead. You guys already said it, just the opportunity to play alongside my brother at the professional level for us is a dream come true. And just really excited to be a part of the Patriots organization. Just obviously, with Dev being here the past 8 seasons, I followed him very closely with the success that he's had and the team's had. So, excited and humbled to be a part of this organization.
What has your brother told you about playing for Bill Belichick, who himself says, I'm not the easiest coach to play for?
I've heard a lot over the years just about playing here, and that's kind of helped me a lot with the transition of kind of knowing what to expect. But he's kind of said, you know, like anybody, a player has played for somebody, he's learned a great deal from him. Obviously, he's been able to have a lot of success here. And I think for me, just watching Dev and talking to him over the years and seeing how much he's grown, he really believes the things that they do here are the right way to go about things. It's hard to argue with the amount of success they've had. So I would say probably the main thing I've learned from him over the years is just trust in Bill. Just as a player that's been on the team, he believes wholeheartedly in what they do here and how they go about it.
So you trust in Bill. Do you trust in your brother?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I may have to go to Bill and double check some of Dev's facts or some of the stories that he's told me over the years.
Well, your brother, of course, he was the first round pick of the Patriots in 2010. While you were ignored by the combine and then taken in the sixth round, and yet you've had success as much as your brother. So just wondering, how has that experience shaped your attitude towards your profession?
I think for me, when you go in late rounder, you just always have that chip on your shoulder. And at the end of the day, every team, including Tennessee, who drafted me 203rd, everybody passed me a few times. And I think for me, that kind of fueled me over the years. You paid attention to every cornerback that was drafted before you throughout the your process. You've always tried to outperform those guys, and I think for me, that's just always been in the back of my mind, starting, like you said, with not being invited to the combine, of wanting to make sure I had a good pro day, and then getting drafted at the end of the sixth round, of just trying to make it to a second contract before guys, trying to outplay guys on the field, trying to last longer than them in the league. I think all of those things just continue to go through your head when you're a late rounder and you're just always trying to prove people wrong.
Did not being invited to the combine, Jason, did that shock you? I mean, just, God, they got 300-something guys there. I mean, was it shocking to realize that you're a guy who runs a 4.3 and you're not, and you've been starting at Rutgers for a couple of years and you're not going to be at the combine?
I would say it was a little disappointing, but at the time, you're so young in the process, you really don't know or understand what a lot of it means. At the time, it was disappointing because you look at it and you just think that everybody goes. I had my college teammates that were all going. So at the time, it was disappointing. But then just talking to my agent at the time, he was just like, hey, there's been plenty of guys that haven't been invited that still get drafted, and that long story. So I think at that point, I was just focused and put all my effort into the training to make sure that if I wasn't going to get a chance to show at the combine, that when I got my opportunity, I gave people a reason to take a second look at me.
Did you feel a lot of pressure on pro day, knowing this was, you know, this was your one shot, your one audition, when you had to get down there and run that 40, were you feeling a lot of pressure, or were you more sort of elated by, here's my chance?
No, I think you're definitely feeling a lot of pressure. I think that goes for guys at Pro Day, guys at the Combine. It's just that when you think about it, you play football and you've had a dream to play professional your whole life, and it's all coming down to either you got the Pro Day and Combine, a 2 or 3 day interview, and that's it. So I think there's a lot of pressure either way. But definitely my Pro Day was late in March, so a lot of people had already ran, a lot of people have performed, and it's coming down to it, and it's one day. You can't be sick, you can't trip, and that's just part of it. So I guess definitely a lot of pressure when it came down to it.
Jason, okay, speaking of 40s, Devin ran a 4.38 in his 40. You ran a 4.3 at Rutgers at your Pro Day. Now you're both 30. You've been starters for nearly a decade. If there was a foot race with lunch 40 yards away, who'd win a foot race between two guys who ran 4.3s?
Between me and Dave, I'm winning that all day. And we'll argue all day about it, but my argument to him is just all you got to do is Google it and go back and look at who ran faster, and it just shows who would win in the race.
Hey, Jason, you know, brothers tend to be pretty heated rivals, and even more so as twins. I was a heated rival with my brother, but he was a year older. We weren't twins. Yet Devin credits you for helping him to become the player he is. How difficult was it for you to watch his team go into the playoffs every year while yours, well, often followed a more difficult path, especially last year in Cleveland?
I talked about this a little earlier. There's definitely some professional envy, and I think it goes not only, like you just said, with the fact that we're twin brothers, so you have somebody that you're so close to, and you're seeing them go through that process. But I think not only for him, but just a lot of guys that you're watching playing. I've been on teams where we finished 9-7 and just missed the playoffs, and you're probably watching on a Saturday or Sunday the team that just got in before you, and you might have played that team and beaten them, and you're watching them have success in the playoffs, and you're mad because you think you should be there. And I think it's the same way as I'm watching my brother. I'm just like, man, I think I should be there. And that's just part of the process when you haven't had that type of team success. It comes with it, those frustrations. But those are some of the things that motivate you to try to continue to get better in the offseason and to keep pushing.
When you were going through last season, I mean, 0-16 has got to be really difficult. I don't care how much of a pro you are. There has to be a point where it was pretty tough on Hugh Jackson, pretty tough on everybody. How do you get through? It's easy. I would think it's a lot easier to get through a season that you end up in the Super Bowl. How did you get through that season and maintain your sort of professionalism and keep functioning?
I think the way you do it is you rely on the guys in the locker room next to you. That was the one thing I walked away with last year, that year in Cleveland, was just the bonds and the relationship that I was able to build with some of my teammates. Obviously, having Danny Shelton here, he was actually a guy whose locker was right next to me in Cleveland. So it was pretty cool as far as now to be here in New England together. But I think that was the single thing that pushed me. And obviously, me as a 9-year vet, I was probably the second oldest guy on the team. So a lot of the guys were coming to me in different moments for advice or asking me certain questions. And that kind of kept me going because that's kind of the enjoyment you get. I know when I came out as a young guy, I had some really good veterans ahead of me that helped me get to where I'm at today. So that was probably the single factor that kept me going and kept me being professional, is just knowing that there were younger guys looking to me to be that guidance and to show them how you're supposed to act in an adverse situation.
Jason, you've picked off Eli Manning and Joe Flacco, a couple Super Bowl MVPs. You picked off Alex Smith, who doesn't throw interceptions. Are you looking forward to picking off Tom Brady in practice?
I think when you're going against the GOAT, you're always going to be excited to do anything against him. I remember hearing Logan Ryan talk about picking him off practice and being excited and talking trash. And I think that's anybody on defense, that's a goal that you always want to have. I was never able to get him in real competition. So you definitely want to challenge yourself and put yourself up against the best. And there's nobody that you can say better at the position.
Hey, Jason, I want to go back to Ron's question about Cleveland, and you saying, guys, young guys have come to you for advice. What did you tell him, especially as the season wore on? I mean, the guys are trying to show up for a win, and you're not winning as the season's going on. People talk about you could go 0-16. How do you prepare each, or tell a guy to prepare each day to try to win when, in fact, you're not going to win anything?
It's tough. I heard Joe Thomas say in the interview, I think it was at the end of the season, and he talked about what we went through last year. It's kind of the definition of insanity when you continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Because as you guys know, in our league, typically every Tuesday is your off day. Mondays you come in and watch the film. Wednesday through Friday is your work day. You practice and you get ready, and you do the same thing over and over again after a loss, after a win, whatever. And for us, it was continually after losses. And you get to the point where you're really trying to figure out why you're continuing to do the same thing. But my advice to those guys is something that Greg Williams used to say to us constantly every day is an interview. And the one thing you know that when you're not winning, there's going to be a ton of change at the end of the season. And you want to make sure that you're positioning yourself the best way you can to be able to continue to have a job in this league. So that was my thing to guys. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You got to make sure you're performing the way you need to perform.
Did you go to the Super Bowls your brother played in?
What was that?
Did you go to the Super Bowls that your brother played in?
I've been all of the cities, I guess I'll say. I went to the actual game the first year he went, the game in Indianapolis when they lost. And by the time he made it back again, we had realized that every time we attended one of each other's games, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end. So the Arizona game, I went out to Arizona, but I didn't go to the actual game. I was able to get to the stadium towards the end and go down on the field with him after the game. And then the one in Houston, I was at, I was in Houston with him and the family, but didn't go to the actual game.
Jason McCourty, thanks so much for spending time with us. And maybe this season we can get both you and your brother on together. How about that?
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jason.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You
got it. That was New England defensive back Jason McCourty. Up next, 2 Minute Drill. This is the Talk of Fame Network. Jason, you still there? One question I'd like to ask you, if you can. We ask all of our guests if they could plug us by just saying we asked you. What? Oh, he did. He hung up. Okay, sorry.